If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
It doesn't have to be 40-some years until I retire. If I start doing what these guys are doing out there and build rental income, you build enough of that, you don't have to work anymore.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Brian Davis is a landlord and founder of SparkRental.com, which provides online property management software and courses on how to reach financial independence and retire early with rental properties. He spends 10 months of the year overseas traveling with his family and enjoying the expat lifestyle.
Hey, Brian, welcome to the show.
Sam, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh my gosh, I am pumped about this interview. You, I think, have done what very few investors and those who invest in real estate are actually able, you know, it's the dream we all have, and you've done it. And so I really just want to pick your brain on how you did it, you know, where you started, where are you now, things like that, and really just hear your story, yeah, about you. So can you kind of give us an idea, where did you start and how did you get where you are?
Sure. Well, you know, big question, but I got my start in real estate. I fell into it totally by accident, as so many of us do. I graduated college with a psychology degree and a criminal justice degree, and I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And I ended up interning for the summer for a couple guys who owned a subprime mortgage lending company. This is back in 2003. So that was a big thing then. less big now, probably. But these two guys, what they really needed help with was doing some hard money loans that they did on the side with their own personal money outside of the corporation that they ran. So I started helping them with doing hard money loans to real estate investors, people doing flips, people doing the BRRRR strategy, even though that acronym wasn't really around back then, but you know, people were still doing it, of course. You know, I saw all these guys, these investors who I was issuing loans to, I saw them creating all this passive income with rental properties. And meanwhile, I'm sitting there in this little cubicle and I hate my life, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking like, oh man, I'm 22. Like how many years until I can retire again?
Right.
And yeah, you know, and I didn't like the answer, but then it occurred to me like, it doesn't have to be 40 some years until I retire. If I start doing what these guys are doing out there and build rental income, you build enough of that, you don't have to work anymore. You know, this is long before the FIRE movement or any of that, but it's a classic timeless thing. Build passive income, and with enough of it, your day job becomes optional. That's how I got into real estate in the first place. It's been a very meandering journey from there. That was my first exposure.
That is fascinating. So you currently, and from what I understand, you don't own any real estate personally.
I own one rental property still. I sold off most of my portfolio to fund our business, Spark Rental, of which I'm one of the two founders. You know, that has cost quite a bit of money and, of course, time.
Sure.
So I ended up selling off most of my portfolio to fund this new adventure.
Gotcha. Okay. So you sold off most of your portfolio, but your Spark Rental software is something that is still, I mean, that's still very real estate related. Can you talk to us about that?
It is very much real estate related. It's all about rental properties and income investing. So we have two main pillars to our business. One is education, teaching people how to build passive income from real estate, from income properties. So we offer free courses and webinars. We have a paid course called FIRE from Real Estate, all about how to reach financial independence and, if you want, retire early with real estate. The other pillar of our business is software, online property management software, to help people automate the management of their rentals, because most of the people we work with have some unrelated full-time job. You know, they're not full-time real estate investors. They don't want to be full-time real estate investors. They want to invest on the side, build that passive income, and, you know, have that freedom, that extra freedom from the rental income.
Right. So is this geared more specifically to people with single family homes, or could someone that owns an apartment complex use it, or?
Both. It's for anyone with residential real estate, whether that's one single unit in a property or whether that's 300 units in a property. doesn't matter. You know, we do things like tenant screening reports and background checks, online rent collection, state-specific lease agreements, all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Okay. That's a cool space. And obviously we've seen some competition come into, you know, into that space. How long ago did you guys launch Spark Rental?
Well, we launched the company about 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
So a strange story. We had actually partnered with another company on the software side of our business, and we were licensing their software and selling a modified version of it under our brand name to our clients. And then the pandemic hit this year and they got wiped out. They went under.
Wow.
And yeah, so it put us in a pretty awkward position where we didn't have software to sell.
Right.
And so we had been in the process even before that of building out our own software because we were a little unhappy with some of the limitations of this software that we were licensing. Even with some of the modifications that we had made to it, it still wasn't as robust as what we wanted to offer for our users. So we had been in the process of building out a new customized software platform, but it was nowhere near ready. But you know, when this company went under, out of business. So it's been a tricky year for us. We've been gradually rolling out the features. The two main remaining core features we're rolling out within the next week or so. So probably before this episode airs, but it's been a challenging year, I won't lie.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are one of my questions here in this interview is going to be, you know, experience pitfalls or surprises along the way. And it sounds like this one will check the box for that.
Oh, that, yeah, it certainly does.
Is there a way to, I guess that company, you could not buy out the rights to whatever software they had?
Well, you know, it was a strange situation. When we originally partnered with this company, it was a mom and pop company like our company is. I mean, our company is very much a family business. It was originally a family business as well, run by these two guys who had started it, and they only had a couple employees. They sold that property or that company to a multinational conglomerate, I mean, a huge corporation with very deep pockets.
Sure.
And when the pandemic hit, for whatever reason, and I won't pretend to understand, but they decided that it was more valuable to them to close this company in its entirety and take the tax write-off than keep it running, even though it was a profitable business. And so, I mean, 2020 seems like an odd year to me to be looking for, like, to be harvesting losses, you know, to be looking for tax write-offs. So it seems like there's plenty of losses to go around in a lot of industries, but that's the way the cookie crumbled for us this year.
Right.
We offered to buy it out. They were not interested. They wanted to take the tax write-off.
Right. They wanted the tax write-off. And I'm speculating, this is wild speculation, but maybe they had a bet on a faster horse and wanted this one to be shelved and not be, you know, market competition to their other investment in some other software platform. So that's really fascinating. Golly. So you guys have turned around. You've said, all right, you know, we took that on the chin. Now we're going to build out our own platform and roll that out. How's that launch been?
It's been slow.
Okay.
it's been slow and frustrating, more for technical reasons than financial ones. We have a web development company that we really like. It too is a small business. We like to work with small businesses. We like to work with family-owned companies. And this company, they're very knowledgeable, they're very attentive, but it is a small business. And they still don't have the capacity to ram this through at light speed. We didn't think that was going to be a problem when we first hired them because we thought we had the luxury of time.
Right.
We already had a product. Turned out to be a problem. But, you know, 2020 has been that kind of year, right? Where it's just, I hate to use the word uncertainty, but, you know, there's been so many curveballs this year in so many industries. You know, this happened to be our curveball, but, you know, if you talk to 10 different business owners and they'll tell you 10 different curveball stories about 2020.
Right. I think we're all going to look back on this year as, yeah, we're going to go, 2020. That was an odd one. may she be forever behind us. Goodbye.
Right, amen.
Man, I'm sorry for laughing. Sometimes that's probably all you can do. It's the way it goes. So that's fascinating. So you've started Spark Rental, you're building out your own platform. And I guess tell me, you know, you had your huge portfolio that you also sold that off as well. So obviously you got your eggs kind of all in one basket, but yet at the same time, you have figured out a way to live internationally, to build a software company, not living in the United States, things like that. I mean, that's part of my bucket list someday. So I don't know, give me the roadmap to how that can be, you know, how that's accomplished. I'd love to hear your secret sauce.
Well, our secret sauce comes in the form of my wife and her career. So she is a school counselor.
Okay.
And when we met and were dating, she worked in the US. We met in Baltimore. I'm from Baltimore. You know, I've always wanted to live internationally. I mean, I've always had a travel fetish.
Right,
I love traveling, particularly international travel. And, you know, my wife didn't historically have the same wanderlust that I did, but she saw how passionate I was about it. And she started, actually unbeknownst to me, this was something she did as a surprise for me. She started interviewing, she signed up with a headhunter service for international educators and started interviewing with international schools and then broke the news to me. Like, hey, Brian, I've started to interview with companies overseas, with schools overseas. You want to move abroad? And so I said, yes, I do want to move abroad. And we ended up in Abu Dhabi for 4 years. She took a job at the American school in Abu Dhabi. And it was a blast. You know, we didn't know what to expect, especially moving to the Middle East. And it's so funny, all of our friends and family members were like, oh my God, Abu Dhabi, is it safe? You know, where is Abu Dhabi? It's the Middle East. Are you crazy? And it turns out Abu Dhabi has a way lower crime rate than Baltimore.
Sure, I can believe that.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the year, Abu Dhabi is usually in the top 10 safest cities in the world.
Wow.
Baltimore is on the other end of that list, sadly. So, you know, there was a little bit of irony there. You know, everyone thought that we were taking our lives into our hands moving to the Middle East. Way safer in Abu Dhabi than where we had been living in downtown Baltimore.
Sure.
But so about a year and a half ago, you know, we decided it was time to leave Abu Dhabi. So she took a job in Brazil. We're in the capital city, Brasilia. And one of the huge advantages to what we're doing is her employers provide us with free furnished housing.
Oh, wow.
So we have no housing payment, which in itself skyrockets your savings rate. So we actually live entirely on my wife Katie's income.
That's awesome.
And yeah, so and we just had a daughter this past summer, so now there's three of us. You know, it's a full family, if you will, not just the two of us.
Right.
And yeah, we can still live on her income and it's fine because we get free housing, we get comprehensive health insurance through her employer, and all of my income we just funnel into investments. That helps us save, you know, create that passive income and get closer to FIRE every single day.
Right. That's fascinating. So are you guys are passively investing in other opportunities, or are you funneling all of your returns right back into Spark Rentals?
No, at this point, I am no longer having to put any personal income into Spark Rental.
That's great.
After the initial influx of cash. I mean, Spark Rental has been profitable for a few years now.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not, I'm not going to retire tomorrow a multimillionaire on it, but,
sure.
But yeah, no, it's profitable. It makes money. You know, it's a nice lifestyle business. But my income, we put into a mix of equities. So every week I have money just automatically transferred into robo-advisor accounts. So, you know, very broad basket of funds, US mm-hmm. funds, international funds, you know, every sector across the board. And we also invest indirectly in real estate through some crowdfunding websites, you know, things like Fundrise and Streetwise and Ground Floor, and a handful of public REITs as well, although I'm a little less bullish on the public REITs at the moment. We've also, my partner and I have started learning land investing as well, which is something that we are very bullish on at the moment for a lot of reasons. But, you know, at the risk of getting slightly political on you, seeing the political winds in the US, you know, it's a little anti-landlord at the moment. And, you know, we just see more and more regulations coming down the pike and more tenant-friendly policies and anti-landlord policies. And that's something that we've kind of seen borne out in 2020, you know, with the eviction moratoriums, even on January 1st, I'm not entirely convinced that all of a sudden landlords will be able to evict again. Mm-hmm. It remains uncertain. Yeah. So land, the nice thing about land is that it's almost completely unregulated. Yeah. You don't have to deal with maintenance or repairs. You don't have to deal with tenant phone calls at 3 a.m. saying a light bulb burn out.
Right.
So, yeah. So we're about to be putting a significant amount of money into land, but it is an area that we don't have historic experience in. So it's something sure. we're kind of having to learn from scratch.
Right. And that sounds like where you're, and that was one of my last questions is where are you going in your business? And it sounds like that's where you're heading. And that's been a common, your thinking is similar to mine in the sense that I've often wondered, like things are becoming less landlord friendly. You know, what's that landscape look like with the next administration? Like, I don't know, you know, is this, right. Cause you as landlord still have to make your payments, whether or not your tenants are. So if you can take one less downside risk off the table, then I think that's always a brilliant move. You guys looking to do that internationally or stateside?
Stateside. I have a little bit of a trust problem with international real estate. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to invest in international ETFs, and international stocks because those are so heavily regulated.
Right.
But, you know, real estate ownership, it really changes drastically country by country. And I don't have the time to learn those laws and regulations. So I don't feel comfortable with it at this moment. I do have some friends who own properties both in Brazil and elsewhere internationally. Most of their experiences have been positive, but I'm not ready to pull that trigger quite yet.
Gotcha. I want to circle back to Spark Rentals because you've kind of taken a backdoor approach to scaling your real estate business. You know, you've done like a lot of us, we've owned single family rentals. You ended up selling that, starting a software company. Do you feel like your experience in the ownership side really helped you know how to build your software so that it serviced your customers? Or I guess you talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is one of our unfair advantages actually in our business because almost all of our competitors, in fact, every single one of our competitors that I'm aware of, they're fundamentally software people. They're tech people. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's a tech business. But my partner and I are real estate people. And I think that has given us, in some ways, an edge because we know what landlords and property managers need and want. Mm. And, you know, I'll give you one quick example. So we're building a lease with the Lease Wizard online.
Oh, that's cool.
Landlords Good To You. And it's far from the only one available online. But our lease was written from top to bottom with legal protections for landlords in mind. Mm-hmm. Every clause in that lease is written to protect the landlord.
Sure.
So, you know, whereas our competitors who offer something similar, you know, these are pretty bland, neutral legal contracts that were written up to be, I don't want to say fair and balanced, you know, because it makes it sound like our lease is not fair.
Sure, understood.
But, you know, I've been sued multiple times as a landlord. My partner has been sued. We know a lot of the loopholes that tenants use to either get out of paying rents or to you know, pull one over on the landlord. I've had professional tenants take a year to evict because wow. They've known every single legal loophole. And so our lease is designed not to have any of those legal loopholes in it.
Right.
So, you know, it's one small example, but my partner and I approach this from a place of being real estate investors and landlords ourselves.
Right.
As opposed to being coders and tech people, you know, which is where our competitors are coming from. And I do think that makes a huge difference.
Right. No, that's awesome. I think you're absolutely right. That is a competitive, as you put, unfair advantage, but one, I'm sure that everyone who uses Spark Rentals, and I guess when your wizard goes live, will appreciate your hard-earned expertise in that space. Final four questions for you. Investing in bigger assets. If I came to you today and I said, hey, Brian, I want to scale my real estate business. What is one thing you would tell me as an aspiring investor? What would that be?
As real estate investors, your capital is your bottleneck for 99% of investors, right? It's your cash in the bank. That's the constraint. That's the bottleneck for how quickly you can scale. So my best advice for people looking to scale is to boost your savings rate because the more of your own income that you can funnel into your investments, the faster you can scale and boost your investing capital. And the more money you funnel into these income producing investments, the more money that you will then have to snowball into other investments. So Focus on your savings rate, save as much money as you possibly can.
That's awesome. Investing in yourself. What's one thing you're doing right now to stay on top of your game?
Well, so I consume news every morning while I'm doing other things, things I have to do anyway. So, you know, sure. I listen to the BBC 5-minute world news summary while I'm brushing my teeth. You know, I read Morning Brew, the daily business newsletter while I'm eating my breakfast every morning. I listen to podcasts every day when I walk to work while I'm making breakfast. So, you know, while I'm doing the things that I need to do anyway, I try to consume news for the day, both, you know, world event news, but also industry specific news, you know, real estate investing stuff.
Right. That's awesome. And since you are the world renowned world traveler investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Well, you know, on the personal side, my family and I, we don't own a car. We walk and bike everywhere. Yeah, no, and which is fun. You know, a lot of people look at me like I have a third eye when I say that. You know, it's not extreme because we chose a place to live that is super walkable. We have dozens of restaurants within a 10-minute walk of our apartment. Yeah, so we have almost no carbon footprint or we use almost no fossil fuels. Even our hot water heater is an electric on-the-fly hot water heater built into our shower. Mm-hmm. We don't use any heat. We don't use any AC. So it's, you know, so we have a very small footprint. On the professional side, what we are doing is this is going to sound like a funny answer to this question, actually, but so we're preparing to launch a co-investing program, which is kind of like a syndication, but it's going to be for small rental property deals, where it is way more trouble than it's worth for us. I mean, we're not going to be making much, if any, money on these, but right. We're going to be letting people partner with us on it, and we're going to be showing them the behind the scenes every step of the way to educate them so that they can then turn around and do this on their own. So it's something that we're really big on education and showing people how to build that passive income on the side of their full-time jobs. So this is not only like a my first real estate investment, but it's also a how-to, here's how you, it's like a training wheels, here's how you can go out and do this yourself. And we're not really going to make any money on it, but it'll be fun.
That's awesome.
It meets our focus of helping people get started on their own.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And there's enough people that are just looking for that helping hand. All they need is somebody to hold the bike while they figure out how to use the pedals. So
exactly.
You know, good for you. That's awesome. How can people learn more about you and get in touch with you?
So you can visit our website, sparkrental.com. My co-founder and I, Denny, we're really easy to reach. You can email us, brian@sparkrental.com. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/sparkrental. We also have what I would argue is the best Facebook group for landlords and real estate investors. It's got, I think, somewhere around 32,000 members right now.
Wow.
And so it's the largest Facebook group for landlords that there is, but it's heavily moderated and policed by our team. So it's, you know, there's no advertising on there. It's all just people helping each other. So yeah, check us out on Facebook, you know, join the Facebook group, reach out to us through our website, sparkrental.com. We've got a lot of free resources on there. In fact, most of our resources are free. So yeah, please reach out and say hi to us.
That's awesome. Brian, thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to jump here on the podcast and share with us your insights. It was a pleasure interviewing you, and look forward to connecting here in the future.
Oh, Sam, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.